cloud of unknowing. And this is one of the most challenging places for us to be as the practitioner. We kind of want to know, how am I going to get them from A to B or A to Z? But the real healing occurs in the cloud of the unknown, in the not knowing. And yet there is a certainty that healing has occurred or is occurring on a very deep level. And those of you, you know, we'll talk about the case of Noah a little bit later today, that there was a whole lot of not knowing happening in that case for myself and for the client. This unites us in such a way that there is no perceptible difference between client and practitioner. This is not the same as merging, because you are grounded and rooted in your own core center, and you're in resonance, or you're like the big tuning fork, resonating the tuning fork of their center. And that's very different from merging, which is using the other person to try to feel whole within yourself. Okay, so this is subconscious cellular healing, what we are doing in a nutshell. Listen and repeat with an attitude of curiosity and wonder. Identify the subconscious belief. Here are the clues, some of the clues and markers where subconscious belief shows up in dialogue. If then statements, should not statements, always never statements. Also, it shows up in judgments. When you hear your client using judgments or self-criticism, these are reflections of a subconscious belief in operation. Then, or judgments of others, and also victim blame statements. Victim blame statements are markers for a subconscious belief. I should add those to this list. Victim blame statements and judgments are also part of ways to identify the presence of a subconscious belief. And these subconscious beliefs are not in alignment with, they are not from our essential self, they're from our limited learned self. Then number three, step three is track and reflect gestures, subconscious gestures to emotion, and then the energy sensation. And then summarize. And summarize happens repeatedly. It can happen many times throughout a session, but especially important at the very end of a session, because when we summarize, this is where a lot of aha moments happen for your client. Okay, create trust, make real contact. Stay relaxed and centered, match the client's energy and communication style. This can help to create resonance between you and your client. Combine compassionate acceptance with reflection back to their goal and presenting complaint. Oftentimes, where a practitioner will get stuck or have trouble is when we lose sight of or lose track of the client's original goal. And we get caught up in, you could say, a sub-goal. Well, if I want to get past my fear of talking to other people, just say, for example, if I want to get fear of talking to other people, then as we're exploring my fear of talking to other people, we also find out that, you know, I'm a sugar addict. Okay, that's great. But we want to keep bringing it back to, tell me about how your sugar addiction, you know, fits with your fear of talking to other people. And that doesn't have to be for you as the practitioner to figure that out. You just keep bringing your client back to, huh, it's interesting you're talking about sugar addiction when you told me you wanted to, you know, your goal is your fear of talking to other people. And all of a sudden you're going to ask them, how are they related? How are those things? And they're going to have this epiphany like, oh my God, I never thought of that before. You're going to sit there going, I have no clue how they're related. Maybe they're not related at all, right? As the practitioner, that's our inner dialogue. But all you have to do is keep reflecting back. This is their story. They're bringing you their puzzle pieces, but you're just holding the space to help them continue to self-explore. And remember to trust, reflect back both the gift and the wound. If you are too goody-goody, you're going to want to shy away from the wound. If you're too interested in drama, you're going to maybe shy away from the gift. We need to balance both. We need to challenge our clients by our willingness to, you know, keep asking them to take a look at the wound, but also reminding them of their resilience. And we use the three magic questions to do that. Remember what they are. What's your breath like now? Where do you feel this in your body? What are you noticing? Okay. And then we use the art of inquiry that we turn our clients' comments into questions. We use only the client's language as much as possible. We do not bring in our language. And we highlight the positive, the essential self, and we listen for the prescription. And I know I keep promising you that I'm going to talk more about that. And hopefully by the next class, I'll be able to do that. But we're not going to probably get to that today. Don't you provide their ahas? You're going to have all kinds of intuitive hits while your client is working. You just summarize and let them find their own ahas. If you summarize, if you repeat back and summarize, they'll hear, they'll get their aha moments themselves. And it'll be maybe even way different from what you would have ever expected it to sound like or be like. Okay, we're tracking subconscious cellular healing. So you're centered in your heart, your essential self, and relaxed. You're going to breathe and make soft eye contact. You're going to focus on their essential self. You're going to listen. You're going to get the presenting complaint and listen for their prescription. I'll just tell you this much on the prescription. Usually when a client says, it's so fascinating how this happens. In your very first session with every client, listen extremely closely. Because you're going to say to them, like, so I just gave you this hypothetical. A woman comes and she says, I want to get over my fear of talking to people, my shyness. And as you listen, usually their first sentence is what they want. So often in their second sentence, they're going to tell you exactly their prescription, the solution for their problem. And they might say something like, you know, when I was a kid, I loved acting, but then I got really scared of acting. And I just kind of feel that if I ever went back to acting, that would do it for me. But there's no way I'm ever going to do that. So you're going to make a mental note. They just read their prescription. Their prescription is they have to go back to acting. But if you say, oh, you know, that's your prescription, there's your solution right there, they're not going to get it, right? Because there's a gap. There's a gap. So if you listen really closely, you're going to hear them write their prescription, usually very early on in a session. Okay. Reflect and highlight their gems of resilience. So this is one thing that Christina did really well, it sounds like, in her, I don't know about highlighting the gems of resilience, but obviously something really positive is happening for this client that makes you crazy, because she's progressing. She's writing you. She's going, wow, things are doing better. I'm getting better. So you're doing something right. So you want to reflect and highlight that for her. Wow, look at that. Something's working here, right? So it's really important that we also, so easy for us to kind of gloss over and go, okay, yeah, that's good. Now what's next, right? But it's really important that we reflect progress, what might seem maybe even to us small, but is actually, we look for those gems of resilience. We look for ways that they are progressing and we reflect that back. Reflect core issues. Keep the focus on their experience of the story, not the story itself. And we'll talk about that more with Christina too in a minute. And then track and inquire about the energy. And so, so, so important to summarize the session. Even if you feel like you don't remember most of it or you're doing it badly, it doesn't matter. Grab as much as you can. Take notes if you need to while they're talking. And come back and incorporate, because during that summary, they really get to hear the journey they went on with you. And in listening to that and in listening to you highlight the gems of resilience in that summary, they're going to realize, wow, I have more capability than I thought, than I realized. And this is really important for them, because most of us didn't get enough of positive reflection in our lives. Assessing the energy. The energetics. Remember that energy has both positive and negative charge. It has frequency and form. It's stored within and around our auric field. And when we change the energy frequency in the tissue, we change the issue. Okay, so we summarize the, I think I already went through this. We highlight aha moments. We highlight resilience. We reflect their state at the beginning and then their state at the end. And how did it feel to hear the summary and then discuss follow-up with them? Okay, you know, you might want to recommend they book a series with you, or if they've already done that, maybe this would be the time to talk about homework and how to prepare for the next session, or what they could get if they book another series with you. Okay, and then we'll talk about dancing with defenses at the end of our session today. Okay, so, oh good, Tina's here. Hi, Tina. Okay. Okay, so any questions about that before we go on?
Oh, I just wanted to know if we're going to be sent the PowerPoint that you just shared.
I haven't usually been doing that, but I could. You will get a recording for sure.
If you give me a copy of that, I can have them upload that. So okay. It's a separate link.
Okay.
That's up to you, Laura. If you don't want to share it, that's fine too. I can watch the recording, but it was just very helpful to see it.
Good. There. I'm glad. Let me think on that one. So I'll get back to you. Okay. Other questions? Making sense so far? Okay, so let's move on then. And let's talk. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend about, 15 minutes on Christina's case. We'll spend about 15 minutes on Noah's case, and then we'll have time for Q&A. Okay, so that's kind of the plan here. So Christina, I also, for those of you who had a chance to read over her Google Doc, I did add my notes onto that page. So if it's easy for you to pull that up and you'd like to follow along the Google Doc while we talk about that, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, we'll just talk through those notes in any case. So Christina, do you want to share a little bit first about your experience and what you had to share about it? Anything more that you want to tell everybody before we talk about it?
Well, only that I did another session with her on Monday, and I felt like we got a little bit closer, but still ran into the same, pitfall. And I actually tried something new, which I think goes off of your method a little bit, but, because she knows she gets caught up in the story. Like she says this, like, I know I'm trying not to do that. So this time I said, look, every time I hear a story come up, I'm going to write it down and we'll just safeguard it in the journal. We'll send it love and compassion, and then we'll keep going with the body and the emotions. And so we did that. And I think it helped her to put a little bit of distance between herself and the story. And then, since she always asked for homework, I told her to go and put that in a God jar at home, giving it all up to God and to continue to write down stories as they come up for her. So I think she did, I don't know, I think it was probably the best she ever did with kind of staying in her body and staying with the emotions. I also tried to do the oral healing with her on the table at the end. And I know not everyone here knows, what that looks like, but it's like having, filling the client up with light and the heart and solar plexus, and then having them do it themselves. And we got about halfway through, and then she said, I can't see the light anymore. It's just like a brick on my heart. And so it kind of, then I said, but in terms of reflecting back her strengths at the end, I said to her, look, you did half of it. you did half of the exercise. That was great. That was progress. So, I just wasn't able, she did still go into that collapse into the story, a bunch of times during the session. And I know that I'm not supposed to sort of get enmeshed in the story, and I haven't found a way to not do that entirely with her yet. Because I do try to bring her back to the body, and then she has a hard time with the energy questions I ask her.
Yeah. So it's great. You're bringing up some great dilemmas, and I think probably other people can relate to some of these too that you're naming right now. Okay, so one of the things that is tricky and challenging about the oral is, you know, what the image that I got, one of the images that I got when you were talking is, you know, she got about halfway through, you said, and then it, and then she like couldn't take it in anymore.
Yeah.
So think about a baby at this developmental stage, which I'm sure is probably easy for you to do right now, right? So
yeah, my daughter's 10 months. Is that she's in the phase?
She's in the phase. Good. So okay. When she's breastfeeding, right, and when she's full, what does she do? She turns her face away, right?
Well, we don't breastfeed anymore, so it was okay. A different metaphor. Yeah.
So when she did, right, when she was full, right, she stopped, turned her face away, right, from the breast. Like, that's enough. Right? I don't want any more. I can't take in any more. Right? That's what babies do when they're like, that's enough, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about the wound that you're seeing play out with you, mm-hmm. which is happening, right, with this client, mm-hmm. she's like, that's enough. I can't take any more. Stop. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's good. She's identifying, that's my limit. I can't take in anymore. Now I'm aware of a brick.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the brick.
Mm-hmm.
What's that feel like? There's nothing.
We're at the end of the session, so you know, I couldn't really work with the brick, but,
okay.
But go ahead. No, continue, because I know this is hypothetical.
Yeah, and that's okay. Like, let's be curious about this brick next time. Okay. Right, we're out of time.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious about the brick.
Okay.
Right. So there's no energy that's wrong energy or bad energy.
Mm-hmm.
There's only, let's be curious about this energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and wherever there's a lot of light, for sure there's a lot of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to get in relationship with both of those components. That's the yin and the yang. Like, there's power in that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We want to explore the power of that darkness, not negate it. Mm-hmm. And so many of us light workers were so quick to like, oh, that's bad, ugly. We don't want to go there. No. Let's turn it into light. No, let's explore it.
Well, actually, I'm very willing to go there. And I would have if we had more time in the session. I just, you know, it's, I just feel like, you know, she constantly brings it back to, but I'm never going to have this. I'm never going to have what I want. You know, I'm always going to be alone. And there's two particular dilemmas with dating and relationships that come up for her, and they get brought up constantly in the session. I don't know if it would be helpful for me to share them.
Yeah.
One is that when she writes.
As you're sharing it, why don't we role play it? You be her. Right, okay. You be her. All right, and let's just role play it a little bit and see what happens.
And just to give a context, this woman is a very interesting woman. She's been in the military all her life, and yet she dates women, but she has had to hide that part of herself in her career. But she's very comfortable with it, just she's not open about it in her career. And comes from a conservative Christian background.
That's a lot to hold. Yeah.
It's really complex, yes. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, yeah, I can play her. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think like the if then statements, yeah, well, she'll kind of talk about how she's feeling better. And then she'll say like, but then I send all these messages out on the dating apps and then I don't hear back, or I get three word messages back.
So as you tell me you send all these messages out and you don't hear back, what's that like for you? What's happening right now, even as you talk about it with me?
I feel bad. I feel horrible.
Yeah, tell me about bad and horrible.
I just feel like I don't want to go on. I feel like giving up.
Yeah, what's that like, that feeling of giving up?
Well, then I feel like if I give up, then I'll just be alone with my dog the rest of my life, and I'll just...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll never get what I want, and I'll just...
All right, so here's where we're going to go down the train, right? Down the trail.
That's what she does, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're alone with just you and your dog, what's that like, mm-hmm. to be alone with just you and your dog?
Lonely. I feel crappy.
Tell me about the feeling of crappy.
I feel like I just don't even want to do it anymore. Like I just don't
even. What's the it? I don't want to do. I don't. Huh?
Like my life just sucks.
Yeah. What's the it that you don't want to do anymore?
Like I don't want to be alone anymore.
What's alone feel like?
It feels bad. Like I just feel.
How do you notice? How do you notice bad? How do you notice the feeling of bad?
Like I just
how do you notice that in your body?
Talk about it.
It's hard to talk about it. Yeah, I'm noticing that too. What happens in your body where it's hard? That it's actually physically hard to talk about.
Well, I always have this knot in my throat. That she does acknowledge a lot.
Okay, good. Is it there right now while we're talking about this?
Yes.
Yeah, can we go into that knot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how are you doing so far with this, Christina?
Good. I'm following what you're doing, and I'm trying to think, like, how much of that I've done in the session. Yeah, I think I mainly get like these little like one word responses from her and then I kind of freeze up. You know, I think that's
what's happening to you. You said you freeze up. What happens for you?
Well, I think it's not knowing where I'm going to take her next. I think that's a big one for me, like not even knowing. Let's see. I think the fear comes up that I'm going to let her allow her to leave the session in this profound state of suffering. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah. What are you feeling right now as you name that, that your fear is I'm going to leave her in a profound state of suffering in the session.
That's a big fear. Yeah. I feel like tightness in my chest as I talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's something similar that you have with her, it sounds like, right? There's a tightness that shows up here. There's this fear that I'll leave her in this profound state of suffering. It's beautiful that you care so deeply.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that you don't want to leave her in a profound state of suffering. And so there's something about exploring a profound state of suffering that we're kind of keeping a distance from.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the real juice is, in that profound state of suffering. Mm-hmm. We've got to be willing and courageous enough to go into that profound state of brave enough. You have to be brave enough to go into that profound state of suffering to hold it for her.
And I notice she was asking, what's that like? What's that like? And I think sometimes she has trouble answering that question. Like she answers it in story.
So you, this is where, and you asked me this question in my comments, this is where you might need to slow down because she's getting more and more regressed.
I see.
As you talk to her, right? Mm-hmm. So she's getting younger and younger. She's going more and more deep into her wound. And it's getting harder and harder to be verbal. So this is where you're going to want to lean in, you know, and if your baby is crying, you're going to be so calm and so gentle and so nurturing. And you're going to, you know, want to do that with your voice. You're going to maybe want to even, because you're in person with her, which is great, you might even want to ask her, would you like some contact right now? Reach over, touch her hand. You know, work with her in that nonverbal place.
Now, what I've noticed is sometimes when I give her that gentle touch, she just, maybe this is also with the age thing, she automatically sort of collapses into crying, you know, just like a really... like a collapse, you know?
Yeah. Like, so this is where she may need to, or she might be looping.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And you're going to have to discern which one is it.
Like if it's not productive crying or if it's, she's releasing, or?
Yeah, like you, and you might need to just be in a lab experiment about it for a while yourself. And if you're still not sure, you might want to ask her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or another thing that I sometimes offer to my clients when they're doing a lot of crying, who have that merging pattern, can you cry while you hold your back up?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've done that too with some of my clients. Yeah, I remember you said that when I first got training from you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I also stopped you, like, we didn't go into the energetics, like, okay, in the throat, okay, so follow the tightness in, let's follow it in. Now, she might stick her toe in the water and then jump out,
mm-hmm.
right, just like, right, suck a little bit and then stop, turn mm-hmm. the face away, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to go slow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to tell her, you know, we're getting deep in your core wounding here. I'd love to do more work with you. It might take us more than the 6 sessions that we signed on for, and I'd love to do that with you. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I've been feeling, because I think we only have 2 or 3 sessions left.
So it might be a good time then to introduce that idea for her.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her about the progress that she has made and tell her what you'd love to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you'd like to be able to continue to help her.
Okay. Beyond telling them to keep their back straight when they're crying, what else do you suggest for that when a client really collapses like that?
Can you look at me while you're crying? Can you still see me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you stay in connection with me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see you're not alone right now?
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel me holding your hand?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to integrate what Peter Levine calls social engagement
mm-hmm.
with the processing of the emotion mm-hmm. to help them integrate.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear more, but I want to open it up for a minute to the rest of you. What's percolating for you guys as you listen to this? Lynn.
So I like the way that you bring it back to that expression, you know, the what, it's not the why, the how are you feeling, what's coming up for you. And just always having them reflect on how they're feeling. I've made note of that. That's good for me to hear. One of the things you teach too, that I remember at least from this last class with the awakening, was that contraction, you know, where you contract into it and then release. Mm-hmm. Would that be something to use in this space here or not?
It certainly could be, right? So we follow the contraction in, right? And maybe exaggerate it, right? So, oh, I feel tightness in my throat. Okay, let's follow that tightness in. Let's exaggerate it a little bit. Go all the way in, all the way in, all the way in. Now let's slowly unwind and do the opposite. What would happen if you did the opposite and let her unwind that and open that up and open that out and see what that feels like? So sure, you could introduce that. The only tricky thing about that is we want to be careful that we're going for exploration, not result.
Right. And so, you know, when she brings up the knot in her throat and when other clients bring that up, the one of the first things they say is, I just want to get rid of it. So
yeah.
I try to do what you, I think I remember you told us to do, was saying, like, instead, let's stay with it. And let's say, like, what's it doing here? Like, get curious about what it's doing here. And for this particular client, she did not have an answer. That was a hard one for her. She was pretty stumped.
Mm-hmm.
She's keeping me from being who I am. It's keeping me from going after the relationship I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you might need to, again, not you guys are bringing up great questions. These are really great and subtle questions. So there's a tricky state change, like brainwave state change, mm-hmm. where you're going to get an intellectual answer if you ask in the wrong, not timing, but not the best timing. Mm-hmm. They really have to be in an altered state to access an energetic response to that rather than an intellectual response. Mm-hmm. And so if they're not in a different frequency state, brainwave state, then you're going to pull them out into their intellect. So most of us, especially people who are a little bit disconnected from their body, and God, she was in the military, so you probably have to disconnect from your body feelings a lot to survive that anyway, right? So you're going to have to enter her very slowly. You could start with just some self-touch. Mm-hmm. Can you, you can do some touch and maybe have her do some touch with you. Like, since you're in person, you could put a hand on the back of her neck and you just ask her, you know, can you just do some gentle stroking across your throat? Mm-hmm. What's that feel like? You got a knot in there. Mm-hmm. Huh, let's just get in touch with that knot in there. Mm-hmm. How's your throat like it when you do that, right? So you have to start on the more concrete tactile levels before you go to the subtle energetic, especially with somebody who's, The other thing is, when she goes into that collapse crying, is ask yourself, how old does she look to you mm-hmm. when she's crying? Does she, the tears sound, they're so telling, right? Because you can tell, like, does this sound like an infant crying? Does it sound like a toddler crying? Does it sound like a five-year-old crying? Does it, what's the age of the tears? What's the age of the collapse?
And then what do I do with that information if I have a guess?
You respond accordingly. Mm-hmm. So like if it's the tears of a toddler, mm-hmm. you're going to respond the way you would respond to a toddler who was hurting, mm-hmm. with honey, let me come and oh, that's really, if it's a baby, mm-hmm. you're going to, you might have sounds, you might do something very different if you're hearing baby tears. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing to me when I hear adults processing, their tears will just show you exactly the age of the wound. Because mm-hmm. that's what the tears will sound like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something else you commented on that I wanted to ask about. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the three-step process for trauma healing. I want to ask about that because actually when I read your comment, I noticed that this particular client, when we're working through something hard, she does start tapping her right foot. Like she just sort of does it. And I think I pointed it out to her a couple times, but we never talked about that being a trauma response. So
yeah, there's a three-step trauma response. I did send it out. So use that. Teach her that. And you can give her a copy of it even, but teach it to her, go over it with her. When I teach this to my clients, I go over it very slowly and very methodically. And I usually do it at least twice with them. And I make them repeat the steps after me, stop and see, sigh and smile, step and tap, so that they really know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. And when would I do that, at the start of a session with her?
Whenever it feels right. Like if I especially teach this to people who are afraid of letting go of their emotional responses mm-hmm. or afraid that they're going to be overwhelmed by emotion, who have trouble regulating their emotional reactivity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great questions, Christina.
So when she's like in the middle of a collapse, a crying collapse, that would be a time to teach her?
Or? You could. I mean, use your judgment. If she's in a really regressed state, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you might have, you, it might be important to bring her slowly out of that, or it might be a time to do a little bit more of the filling of the oral, you know, the merging filling pattern, you know, healing. Mm-hmm. To have her try that again with you. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing I think that I hear with you and from you that sense I get as we're talking is, I'd love to see you, like, let it be okay for her to take as much time as she needs mm-hmm. to grow mm-hmm. through this.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a lot of trauma in this woman's history. I'm guessing, I have no idea, but I'd be curious about that. And I'd ask her about that. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then work with her slowly to let her know that, you know, that it takes a little time to heal and to integrate, and she's doing great. And she's, you know, like, again, always emphasizing the progress she's made, the resilience. Mm-hmm. Even little things can be very big for someone who's new to working like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess I'm still unclear as to when we would use the three-step process with a client in a session. Can you give some examples of, like, moments when that would be good to introduce?
You know, I've taught it especially to people who are, say, prone to anxiety attacks or panic attacks. Mm-hmm. I've taught it to people who are tend to be overly emotionally dramatic. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's regulate this. You don't have to deplete you because, you know, this will be maybe after we've talked about this for a while about, you know, you don't have to, you know, deplete yourself, or let's work with balancing and integrating some of this energy so that you're not exhausted from it. Mm-hmm. Those would be a couple cases. But you'll, once you start to work with it yourself and even play with it yourself a little bit using it, mm-hmm. you'll start to know. It's such a great tool and it's so simple. I mean, mm-hmm. I teach it to so many of my clients.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen when it was used, for example, in my Lionheart training, when people really did, like, it was clear they went into trauma, you know, like, oh, this is, God, it feels like it's happening to me right now. I don't know what to do, you know? And mm-hmm. I haven't had too many moments like that with clients. It's more just them getting a little overwhelmed with emotion or getting stuck in a story. So that's when I'm not sure, like, when is the right moment to introduce it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be a cookie cutter recipe. Mm-hmm. So you might, you know, you might not have a need for it either for a lot of your clients. Mm-hmm. I think it's like whatever the traffic demands is what you provide, right? So if there's a need for this, if they're telling you about, you know, if it might be something that doesn't show up in session, but they might have a need for it with their kids, mm-hmm. you know, managing their kids. Okay, I'm going to teach you this, and you do this when you get irritated and you go into the bathroom, and or you teach your kids how to do it. Mm-hmm. Kids respond really well to this because mm-hmm. it's so simple and so effective and easy for them to do. What else is going on for people listening to all of this? What's coming up for you guys? Is this helpful? Is this useful to hear what Christina's working with?
I also liked hearing how you were kind of deconstructing, you know, so how does it, what does it feel like if you didn't meet somebody and you're staying with your dog? You know, just kind of take that. There's something, it's kind of like with small children and they're afraid of this shape of a boogeyman. And then you turn the light on and you see what it actually is. And
yeah, we got to go all the way into the core and look at the boogeyman right in the face.
Yeah.
And if we don't do that, we'll never get to the core of the issue.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. So should any other closing comments on this, Christina, before we move on, or questions or thoughts?
No, I think I'll probably have to let it percolate a little and maybe listen to the recording again.
Any feedback for Christina from you guys just listening to this?
I think, Christina, you've done an amazing job. People in the military have so many issues. And particularly the women have so many challenges when they're in the military. And with her in that merging pattern at that young age, needing to have a core definition and edges, and then she's in the military where those are provided. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for her to live within those mm-hmm. parameters. And then when she has to do her personal life, they have dissipated. And that's very difficult. She's lived a long life with having it provided when it wasn't in the beginning when she was young. So
We have connected those dots. So that was good. She did a genogram mm-hmm. and I heard all about her early life, and it was extremely chaotic with her mother. Yeah. Unstable, and I was like, well, that was a smart choice for you to join the military and get all that structure that you didn't get, and then you're working everything out, you know, in your relationship. So
beautiful.
It gets that. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah,
anything else?
I guess I'm a little curious to hear from Alma, because she said she has a client who's similar.
Oh, yes, it's back and forth. I mean, to be honest, sometimes because I've been seeing her since August last year. And it's like she's so afraid to just there's a big fear, and she admits it, big fear, but she's so afraid to get there, and yet she has all these physical stuff going on, and so it's like she wants to solve that, but without really, you know, getting in energetically. And I really feel like a lot of it is energetic, and notice the looping too. So one session I actually was kind of honest with her, you know, I try to always do the higher self, this and that, great. But this session I was like, okay, Teresa, if you want just a hands-on Reiki thing, fine, we can do that. I said, I know it helps temporarily. I said, you tell me what you need, but I said, are you ready to really go into the, you know, start exploring some stuff. You know, I basically asked, you have a choice. Like, this stuff is, if we don't look at it, it's not going to, you know, I was kind of more authoritative. And to be honest, like, she responded really well. I feel like she almost needs me to run the show. Like, okay, I'm
good. Let
go with it. Because with these younger patterns, like, you need boundaries. And I've learned this on my own, me working with a healer. I feel safer with boundaries. So they tell me, okay, I was a little bit, I don't want to say rough, but it's like, you know, do you want to do this or not? And then I even, in that session, sometimes I just kind of cut her, because she's a little bit going in the story. I stop and I go back to the breathing, or I stop. And so I just kind of started taking charge a little bit more.
Excellent. I love that. I love that. Yay. Yeah, it sounds like that's just what she needs from you. She needs you to be in charge. Right, that's the age of the developmental age where she's stuck. She needs mom to be in charge, and you took charge. Good.
Yep. But I also like, Christina, like, you giving her homework. I feel like for them that helps too. Something. Yeah. So yeah, thank you. That's mine.
Good. Sounds like you're doing beautiful work, Alma and Christina both. You know, I'm just loving what you're bringing to the table here.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Should we talk about the case of Noah? Did you all get a chance to watch that? Yes? Okay. All right. So, so this was one of the most challenging cases I've ever had, I got to tell you. It was really challenging for me, and I called up all my colleagues, like, what do I do? This kid is vomiting 10 times a day. Oh my God, I'm in over my head. And, you know, and and I'll just to give you a little bit of background. The first session I had with him, he had an immediate, and the first session was over the phone. It wasn't even over Zoom. First session was over the phone. And he had an immediate, like, relief. And like calm calmed down from the nausea. And I thought, oh, good, it worked, we're done. You know? And then the next day, of course, he was vomiting again. And then the next session that I had with him, I actually saw him in full-blown trauma response, right? I saw the process. So you saw a little bit of it in the video that you watched, but I saw it completely magnified. He even got off the phone a couple of times to vomit while I was working with him. But it was good because, so meantime, you understand that as the therapist, I'm sitting there going, oh shit, I'm really screwing this up. I can't help this kid. This is way out of my league. I go through all the same doubts and fears that everybody does, right? So he would not have seen that or known that on the outside. I'm only sharing that with you guys. But I'm watching this, and at least while I'm watching this, I'm learning and I'm seeing what he's doing with his body. And what he was doing with his body from my perspective or my perception was, and I talked about this a little bit in the video that you saw, is that he would get so, his body would get so tight and so constricted when he would get close to feeling out of control, emotionally out of control, that his body would tighten, 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 his whole digestive tube, his whole digestive tract would tighten, his belly, his solar plexus, his throat, that the only way he could release that tension was his body would force him to vomit. So he had this going on for about 6 weeks when his dad brought him to me. And he'd had another bout of this, I found out from him and his parents, when he was in fourth grade, but lasted for 3 months. And then it just stopped for no known reason to any of them. So when they brought him to me, they'd taken him to doctor after doctor, you know, nutritionist after nutritionist. What's he allergic to? What's this? What's he doing wrong? What's blah, blah, blah? Nothing. They could find nothing. None of the tests could find anything wrong. But to me, when I saw this, what he was doing, I saw the utter fear and terror about letting go happen inside of him. So when I started to work with him, we worked on two things. One was exploring what is the fear? What was he so afraid of? And we talked about a few things. There was no specific trauma, like dramatic trauma, like, oh, my friends will judge me. They'll think this, they'll think that because I missed school. And, you know, but this theme of control, needing to be in control, wanting to be in control, was extremely important to this young man. And it was married with an utter fear of his body being out of control. So in the session that you saw, you know, here we are now, we're at session six, and he comes back and he tells me, yeah, had a great session. We had a great session 2 days ago. And, you know, a few hours after that, I vomited. So I'll be like, okay, still not working. Anything I'm doing, it's not working. It's not working. But in actuality, it was working. And he said a few things that I really reflected back and held onto, right? Which were, so after you vomited, you actually went for 2 whole days and 2 nights without vomiting? He said, yes. And I said, how long has it been since that's happened? Months, or not months, but I think weeks, like it's been 6 weeks since it started. He hadn't had a respite of 2 days and 2 nights. So I thought, oh, progress. This is progress, right? There's progress here. Something is starting to happen. And you could say that this was kind of like a turning point session because as you heard me say, it seemed like things were escalating in a way for him because now cramps were happening because he couldn't do his normal control like this. Now he's getting stomach cramps and that was new. And I thought that was interesting too. Okay, so that's new. So my work with him was to help him trust and start to learn that his body could release the spasming that it wanted to do and that it needed to do without having to vomit. And if you noticed also a couple, and we worked on this too, he would swallow, like saliva would start to come up. He would be afraid that was vomit, and he would immediately try to swallow and control that. And I would, and the next session I worked with him to like, okay, let's not swallow anymore. Spit it out, spit the saliva out in the tissue. Let's not go down anymore. Let's not repress. Let's not constrict. Let's go out. So unfortunately you weren't able to see some of the waves that actually, I think you could see a little bit of the waves of releasing that he was doing, that I was able to see. But every time he would have a release, he'd go, oh, I feel better. And I was asking him frequently, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is it now? Okay, now it's at a 5. Well, that's better than a 7. Okay, good. Okay, so so he wrote his own prescription too. At, you know, there was a big kind of piece that happened for him when he said, you know, lying down, I just thought of it, lying down is like letting go to sleep. So he had this epiphany about his fear of falling asleep because it was another kind of letting go. So that was also a big kind of turning point for him. So I think, and I, you know, so now I want to just open it up to you guys. Any thoughts, any questions, any comments about your witnessing of this case?
Laura, I had a question about towards the end. I know you as a practitioner for a long time. So I was wondering, like, how did you put the whole piece of the birthing process together? Like, that was a big jump.
Right. Okay. Let me tell you what happened there. That's the kind of thing I would have probably done differently, right? That I wasn't particularly happy with necessarily, although, because it was too intellectual. I don't think, I'll tell you why. Okay. So in my insecurity, right, in my calling up, I called up one colleague of mine, like this MD, homeopath, like really renowned doctor who I've done some conferring with over the years of mutual clients. And he said, you have to get to the cause. You got to get to the root cause. You got to find out about the root cause. So I had talked to both of his parents about the birth experience, about their experience of the birth. Their parents experienced it very differently. The mother's a professional singer. She literally sang her way through the whole birth. She loved the birth. It was great for her. But there were issues that were happening in the birth, and the husband was just so lovely, and he kind of held the problem parts of it and sort of protected both the mother and the child from that, but he was freaking out in a lot of ways. So that dynamic was also there. And so they both talked to me separately and individually about the birth experience because I wanted to know, was there a birth trauma here? And there was a mild, I mean, every birth is a trauma in a way. It's a dramatic, it's a pretty dramatic traumatic, no matter how great it goes. It's a, you know, it can be, it's a life challenging, you know, on many levels situation. So because of the influence of this doctor that I talked to, I brought this up and I thought, you know, maybe this is going to help this young man in some way. And as I'm halfway through it, I'm realizing this is ridiculous. He just wants to go out and play. He doesn't care about any of this. He doesn't need to know this. Like, how is this helpful to him? And I kind of dropped it at that point. Now, was it useful? He's a smart kid, maybe. I don't think it was bad that I did it, but I think it was an agenda that I brought in rather than dealing with just him who is present with me, who is really telling me how to run the session. I don't have to bring in my agenda. Now, again, that's not to say it might not have had some use or been useful to him in some way, but I do really think that it works even better when we just track what's going on for the client in present time. So thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, that's what I want. I wanted to address that with you guys. Any other comments or questions about it?
So I'm a little confused with that. When I heard you talk about the birth part, that made sense to me about his struggle.
Yeah.
But I really felt like when you talked a little bit more about it on a very gentle level of just education about birth and then about his struggle, I thought my take was that made a lot of sense to him.
I think it did, actually. I agree with you. I ultimately think it did. And because it also made it not about him being bad or him being something wrong with him. Like, you know, I think it helped him in that regard. So I think you're right. So, it's interesting because I think it did trigger some of that for me. Like, oh, what am I doing? Am I going down a right track here or not? Yeah. Yeah, Lynn.
So one thing, and thank you, Janet, for bringing that up. It reminded me of something that I thought of when I was being born, and I was born on an Air Force base, and I was born before they decided. And as I was being delivered, they gave her an epidural, and then my mother was paralyzed for 2 weeks. Mm. And I've heard about this. In fact, she just had hip surgery and said it was because of this. She didn't say it was because of me, but it was because of this. And that reminded me, as I was listening to what you were saying, that reminded me that even though it wasn't the intent for people to give that responsibility, you still take that on. And again, when you were talking about the constriction and everything like that, it's this, we kind of constrict when we take responsibility. So those were just some thoughts that came up in my mind. So thank you, Janet, because I forgot that.
Yeah, good. So quick questions on cases of your own. Let's open it up now.
I have a question about closure. I've been working with someone for 6 months on a weekly basis, and then I'm no longer working with that person. But I sometimes wonder about her. I've never worked with someone for that long and that intensely, and I just have not studied much about closure. So I'm wondering if you could say a few words about that.
Like, yeah.
How do I address her when I see her at a party or
call
and check in, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't actually have closure with her, it sounds like, is that right? You didn't actually have like a session?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we said goodbye and we kind of went over what happened in the sessions,
mm-hmm.
what she saw worked out for her, and
mm-hmm.
I did some of that, but that's about all that we did. I don't know if there's something else that one does.
I think there's a few things just sort of that I can toss out to you in general about closure. One is I would really review, like, when you first came to me, you came for this reason, right? Whatever the presenting complaint was. And let's look back for a minute. Let's talk about what you were like when you first came, what you were feeling, what was going on in your life. Let's look at the changes that have happened in our 6 months together. And, you know, it's also fair, Erin, to say, you know, I've been thinking about us since we've stopped, and I feel like we're not, like I'd love to do maybe one more completion session with you. I'd like to go back and kind of do a review that I think we didn't quite complete. Would you be interested in that? And this would be something she would pay for,
mm-hmm.
right? So this would be an invitation to come back and, hey, I was thinking about us. And I'd like to do a little bit more of a formal closure with you, where we actually go back and review what the progress has been like over our 6 months together. Mm-hmm. And then I would reflect, you know, maybe go back through the journey, through some of the notes, and highlight turning points, turning point changes that happened, and where she is now, and how does she feel about what she's achieved? And also, do you feel like you could take her further? Do you feel done yourself? For her, like
with what we're working on, I think she could go further.
Sure. So that might be an opportunity to do that also, and to say, you know, I've been reflecting on, you know, some next steps that might actually be also be useful for you, mm-hmm. and I'd love to review that with you. I mean, you might not want to say that to her over the phone, but that might be more appropriate in person. Mm-hmm. To say, if you wanted to think about doing a next step at some point, here's what I think might be beneficial for you. And this is for everybody, right? Like when you complete a series, it's a really good idea to think about how you could take your client, what they might need that you could offer them to take them another step. And if you feel like you're done and that they feel like they're done, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Then and is it appropriate to ask them what they think their next step might be?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. And ask them, how has it been for you?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And another question could be, how have you felt about our relationship? But if you ask that question, you also want to be prepared to share a little bit about how the relationship has been for you.
Well, that's appropriate.
If you answer it appropriately, you know, like within boundaries, right? Right. Uh-huh. Like just the positives, like, you know, what you might have learned that from them or, you know, things like that, but not disempowering your authority position. So it's a little bit of a tricky balance.
Uh-huh.
It's a great question. Is that answering? Yes,
because this is an issue for me, like boundaries. So what would an inappropriate response be? Like,
well, what comes to your mind when you ask that question? Like,
What were the words that you said to me just now? I can't remember them.
To share a little bit about what the relationship has meant for you or been like for you, what you might have gotten from.
What I've learned from it.
Yeah, or just, or what it's given to you, you know. Like when I think about, okay, like I just completed a series of 18 sessions with a client and she signed up for another series, right? So at the end of that series of 18 sessions, I shared with her that she's really taught me what she needs, how to be more sensitive to what she needs, especially around the ending of a session. Like if I go into business mode too quickly before we say our goodbye, she gets hurt. Mm. So like I thanked her for that awareness. Like I really thank you for teaching me, you know, how to be more available for what you need. So I'm still in the position, the sort of authority position, but I've learned from her. You've really taught me how to be more sensitive about that. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And that's
bye, Lynn. Thank you.
Bye, Lynn. So you're making it when you respond to her, her having taught you this, that it's about how she taught you to be with her, be well with her. And specifically that.
Yeah, to be more effective with her and for her. Uh-huh. So I thanked her for that, yeah.
Uh-huh. I could see how that would be healing for her still, right?
To hear. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. She liked hearing that.
Okay. So it's more of a focus on still on the client, obviously, and not so much about what I have received, things that I have received personally.
Right. Yeah. You want to be careful about what you disclose. Some disclosure is important and helpful for connection. Mm-hmm. And some is not appropriate. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to make
between the two.
Yeah, you don't want to make her like a friend. You don't want to talk to her the way you would talk to a friend.
Right.
And that might be a useful marker.
Yeah. I should probably do work around it myself.
That's always helpful. Our own work is always helpful.
Okay.
Tina, we didn't get to check in with you before you joined in. So anything you want to just say in checking out, and then we'll just do a brief checkout for everybody because I know we're out of time here, about how this was for you or anything you want to share?
For being late, a lot's going on for me, and I actually fell asleep. And I woke up to Alma's text, so I want to thank her for that. I didn't mean to miss. And my text is going out, but I'm really enjoying listening to me, particularly Christina, similar client that I'm with.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you because it's breaking up a lot. Is anybody else having that difficulty too? Okay, yeah, we all are, so I'm not sure why, but try it again, but it's like you're cutting in and out quite a bit.
Are you able to hear me at all?
It's kind of sounding like, you know, like it stops and starts, so it's a little difficult. Maybe you can put in the chat or try it one more time. You're on mute now. Can you?
How about now?
I think that's better.
Able to hear a complete sentence?
Yeah.
Okay. My connection's very bad, and so I've been going in and out. Happy to be here. Sorry I was late. A lot is happening for me, but I really am instead. Able to hear me?
It's still cutting out a little bit, but go ahead.
Very useful, very helpful, and sorry it's late. And thank you.
Okay. You're welcome, Tina. Glad you made it. All right, Alma, closing comments.
It was very useful. I feel like you can't say this stuff enough, even though, you know, I've done the level one twice and all of that. It's always great, like a reminder. If anything, to be honest, to me, stands out the summary. I realize I've been forgetting or haven't been doing that. So
yeah,
I'm going to start doing that.
good. All right. Thank you, Alma. Janet.
I always learn something every time. And I felt your struggle when you shared Noah's work with us. And that just is evidence that we just keep learning, and it gives me confidence just to keep going.
Good. Thank you. Jan.
This is fascinating. As always, same thing. I just can't get enough. And it's great to hear things. That frequency and repetition really helps me to remember that when I'm with a client.
Good. All right, Jan. Christina.
That was really helpful. Gave me a lot to think about with my client. I really like that discussion of closure, too, and especially since I'm approaching the end of my series with her.
Good. Yes, that was a great question. Thanks. Erin.
Yes, I also learned a lot, and I love being reminded of it all.
Good. Well, it's a pleasure to work with all of you again. And please submit case studies for this because it takes all of us deeper. And also for those of you who don't know, there's the Five Personality Patterns book by Stephen Kessler, which is an incredible book on characterology. We're starting a course, a Zoom class, June 29th. And for those of you who have taken it before with me, you can take it, retake it for half price. It's on sale right now for $4.95. So for those of you who have taken it, you can take it for $2.50, which is nothing. And it's a really great opportunity, again, to go deeper in the work, to be reminded again and again about the potency of this. So please consider joining us. Go to dancingwithdefenses.com if you're interested in knowing more about it and signing up. And I look forward to staying connected with all of you. It's always just such a great pleasure to work with all of you. So thanks for being here. See you again soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.